Hello, A Play on Nerds listeners. If you're listening to this long after the show was uploaded, please ignore the following message. If not, I want to apologize for the long delay between episodes. Both Steve and myself have been doing a lot of development in our personal and professional lives, but also we've been doing a lot of things to improve A Play on Nerds. Because of this long delay, quite a bit has happened since the last episode we recorded. Since the recording of the episode you're about to listen to, the world lost a great in the world of science fiction and acting and photography and writing and performing, Leonard Nimoy. Spock and Leonard Nimoy himself meant quite a bit to me in my life. In our next episode, we will definitely be discussing the life and accomplishments of Leonard Nimoy, and they are great. So pardon the pre-episode announcement, but please enjoy the episode.
Welcome to A Play on Nerds.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Jarman.
Between us, we have more than 30 years of experience in the nerd arts.
Each week, we endeavor to bring the world of nerddom to all of you.
So push up your glasses and listen up, Internet.
This is A Play on Nerds.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to episode 35 of A Play on Nerds. As always, I'm Steve.
And as sometimes, I'm Jarman.
And as always, we're happy to have you back.
Back for such a special extravaganza episode.
Special. Every episode. You can't afford to miss them. Tell your friends.
Tell everyone. But, yep, this show we're talking all about our favorite cartoon shows. We'll have some games related to the shows, and we're going to just talk about... It's going to be quite nostalgic, I think.
Oh, it's going to be a nostalgia. We're just going to bathe in it. Just sweet all over. It's going to be great.
Sweet animated goodness. But not just kid cartoon shows, but also the adult cartoon shows. Not porn by adult, but like adult
is that's what most of mine is about, actually, unfortunately.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Cinemax After Dark cartoons.
Sorry, audience.
Rated X episode.
About to get a real adult up in here.
I always wondered about that. People do hentai and stuff, how they can do animated pornographic acts. Like, I think of the animators sitting there, like, drawing each cell of porn. That'd be really a horrible job.
You know who we need to find to have an interview with?
Who's that?
One of those kids that has the full-length Asian body pillows.
Oh, God.
We need to find one of those people and interview them. It would be groundbreaking.
Well, I think our only question would be, why?
Yeah, why? How? Who... Who didn't say no to you at some point about this?
I just saw a video today that they used to sell on Etsy, Edward Cullen body pillows. He's like the Edward the vampire from Twilight.
Okay. I'm with you so far.
It was freakishly terrifying. Like, it was out of proportion because it was like handmade and it was looked like something out of a
delicious
nightmare. Team Edward.
I don't know. I don't care what anyone tells you. You people aren't normal.
And that's okay, right?
No, it's not. No. You need to start talking to people.
Yeah, because like BDSM and stuff is okay, because at least you're involved with other people and you're being social.
Yeah, it's like a team game, like a sport.
But then if you're with a pillow, that's just, it's sad.
That's masturbation, because you're always alone, no matter what it is.
Anyways, we got really off topic.
I hope we offended a whole community of body pillow enthusiasts.
That was actually our whole audience was body pillow enthusiasts.
God damn it. Our viewership drops by 50%.
You didn't know that? I went to the convention like last weekend, the body pillow convention. It was great. We have a big booth there. Anyways, right, what have you been up to this past week, Steve?
Well, this past week I had a couple big monumental things. I had my last day at the retail store that I worked. So they do this thing where I work called a clap out. When it's your last day, when you leave, they line up everybody that's available and everyone cheers and screams you out. And typically you can tell, as someone who's been at retail for almost 4 years, you can tell how well someone is liked by their clap out. it's a pretty accurate gauge. And I had an epic clap out, and that felt really good.
Oh, that just feels like high school dodgeball over again, though. If they don't clap for you, it'd be so sad.
I know, but it's very telling, and it's something I've seen over and over again. So I knew that it would be the same way at mine, and I had an epic one, and it was really nice. And then some of the young kids from work threw a party for me at a bar, and that was epic and great, and had a lot of fun with them.
Very cool.
And then it's been nothing but cleaning and packing and going insane.
Because you are moving to Cupertino.
California, moving across the country. We leave in 2 days. We spend a few days in Pittsburgh with my family, and then we're out on the 25th.
That's pretty awesome.
It's insane how quick it's moving, but I'm very excited.
And I'll still be here in Orlando, Florida.
Yep. I got to commemorate the end of our time here. I went and got myself a New York tradition, a Friday the 13th $13 tattoo.
Oh, yeah. They do that like nationwide, don't they?
Yeah. It's a big thing everywhere.
Well, you got a tattoo? What'd you get a tattoo of?
It's an abstract of Boba Fett. It's on my arm.
What part of your arm?
Just the top. Think of the shoulder just above the sleeve line for a t-shirt.
Oh, very cool. So badass of you.
Any tattoo I get, I plan to have it so that I can wear something normal and have it covered.
Yeah, that's a great idea. That's responsible.
I've got one on my ankle that if I put on a sock, doesn't exist.
And you know, there's actually a news story recently. They're developing this cream that apparently can remove tattoos really easily without leaving any marks, and it's not painful or anything.
That sounds too good to be true.
I know. It's like, if that's the case, I'll get tattoos. I don't care.
Yeah, I'll get face tattoos, then run them off the next day.
I'll get a Mike Tyson right in my face.
Everyone will take me seriously at the board meeting.
Oh, how meta would that be if you got a tattoo of Mike Tyson with a face tattoo? That would be really cool. Or not cool at all.
What if you got your face tattooed to look like Mike Tyson's face and then had the tattoo put on top of it?
That'd be even better.
Oh, my God. I've got a life plan now.
Once that cream comes out, it's happening.
But yeah, it's just been a crazy week and lots of moving. So what have you been up to?
Well, mine's not quite as exciting, but still been a fun week. I've been preparing for another burlesque show that I'm the producer of. This theme was just like we were offered this show, so we had to put something together pretty quickly. So we did a fan favorite show. People voted on what their favorite performances were from each performer. So
okay.
We have crazy stuff like the overly attached girlfriend is one of the numbers. It's a meme that goes around. There's a Captain Hook number. There's a Stormtrooper number, and it's pretty hilarious. So it's a fun time. But on that same note, we're going to be expanding our Twitch channel soon, a Play on Nerds followers.
Ooh, that's right.
Where we'll have two of these lovely performers who are the burlesque troupe. We're going to be wearing their cute little cosplay outfits and being also very intelligent, funny women. We're not objectifying them. They're really funny girls. Rosita Sparkles, who is also my girlfriend, and Aurora Fable is the other stage name. But these two girls are going to play video games on our Twitch channel. It's going to be awesome. They're really funny.
You're going to eat it up, Internet. Eat it up.
And I'll be there producing it, so you'll hear me in the background occasionally, and I'll be adding my lovely sound effects and stuff to their broadcast. So it'll be a lot of fun.
You'll be the equivalent of that guy in the porn video who talks too much.
That's the thing, isn't it?
It is. Oh man, you're so hot right now.
Dude, shut up. No one's here for you.
Oh, this is so good. Dude, come on. You're killing it.
This is not a family show, folks. If you don't know that by now, a family show.
What have we done? All right.
I thought of it more as like Regis Philbin and Kathy Lee, that old show. They always like would give like side things to their producer who's like off the side of the stage looking awkward and confused. That's me, my job. So there you go. Oh, and it's my birthday this Saturday, which is exciting.
Yeah. How old are you turning?
I'll be 29, the last year of my 20s.
Ooh, man.
You're 28 now, right?
That means 29 is coming for me soon, though.
That's true. So it's a sad time.
It is. We're almost dead now.
We're almost dead.
It's time for Nerdy News.
All right, so here on Nerdy News, as always, I come up with a really terrible name and story for my the story I'm presenting. And this one's, hey, don't penny in the pool. So the
okay.
So the Morning Glory Thermal Spring, it used to be blue back in the 60s and the 50s. And they've got pictures, people from people's tourist times there showing this blue pool. But now it's green and yellow. And they're trying to figure out why. And what they realize is that over the past 40 years, people have been throwing pennies and shit in there.
Mm.
And what they think is that it has formed a layer that is absorbing heat. And so bacteria that previously wasn't able to grow there because it was too hot is now pluming everywhere and turning the water green and yellow.
That's pretty gross.
Yeah. Thanks, humans.
I just really enjoy all the news going on in the world. That's your new story.
It's nerdy news. That's the point. Well, let's hear how big. I can't wait to hear how mainstream your story is, Jarman.
No, I'm not saying it is.
Mine's, oh, I'm so just, excited.
Mine's just as bad.
Oh, I'm so excited now. So, way to fuck that up, humans.
We fuck up a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's sort of our dig.
So you were talking about Yosemite. Well, in National Park as well, we have not Yosemite, but Yellowstone is actually where it was. There was a cam that takes a video of the National Park just kind of panning back and forth. People can watch it whenever they want. There is video of buffalo that were walking around grazing in the snow, really cold weather out there at this time of year. And someone caught footage of these big hulking looking figures that were moving along, kind of observing the buffalo and then going up towards them and stuff. And the video cuts away at that point, so you can't see it continue because the webcam changes cameras automatically. But they've analyzed the video and they say that the size of these people, they have to be huge. These creatures.
Yeah.
They are, you know, out in the cold and they're running incredibly fast in this hard terrain and this deep snow. Yeah,
someone does some close up and does frame by frame and you can see them running in the background at a very mm-hmm. far distance. And then within, 6 to 8 seconds, they're way up at the foreground, a distance that would be incredible for a human to cover.
Yeah, and there's one of the bigger creatures in the front, looks like it has a limp too, which is kind of interesting. A detail that would be kind of weird and difficult for a person hoaxing it to do, which is interesting. True.
Now, mind you, I watched another video tearing that video apart, and he did bring up some very good points, but I still didn't buy all of it.
Yeah, like one of the points is it could very well be cross-country skiers, and the reason why he's limping is because he's carrying skis on his feet, you know?
Well, here's the thing that I don't buy about that. You can mm-hmm. see their arms swaying. They're not up in front of them pushing ski poles.
It's true.
They're down, draped at their side, and that's why I don't buy it.
I am very confused right now why you're defending this video, because I'm so surprised.
This is the first time where I've seen something and gone, okay, that's feasible.
Hmm.
It's a location where they could be.
Yeah.
The video footage backs up, size-wise at least, I believe, how big those things would be.
Yeah, if you want to watch the video, folks, it's called Bigfoot versus Buffalo. It's by a guy named Thinker Thunker. I've seen videos from him before. He does a lot of Bigfoot stuff. And he does a great rundown of why this is a very interesting video. And he does like a size relation from the person to how big they were compared to the buffalo. Buffalo is like 6 foot tall up to its shoulder. So this person has to be...
The guy who tears him apart basically says like under that much magnification, things are going to appear to be the same size that shouldn't be. And that sort of thing. But once again, I just don't buy that it was skiers because they weren't on skis.
The fact they'd be out there like just doing this right now and that been the rough terrain, they're coming out of the tree line. Like, why would they be on the tree line if they were skiers? It was just, it's really interesting. So,
yeah.
And if Steve thinks it's interesting, dear God.
Yeah, I know. This is one of the very few videos and things that I've seen where I go, okay.
That makes me unreasonably happy. So on that same note, another thing has nothing to do with cartoons. My news story goes mm-hmm. into the world of aliens. And I do have three stories, and in an effort to make this not incredibly long, I'm going to go real quick on these. You can throw in your 2 cents. The first story is just all around good news. This is just came out today, just before we started recording this show, that Neil Blomkamp, the director of District 9 and Elysium, and now Chappie, that movie coming out we've reviewed before the trailer mm-hmm. for, he is going to direct a new Alien picture from the Alien, series. So that's really cool.
I've seen his concept sketches looking hot.
It looks badass. I don't know if they're going to reboot or if they're going to do a whole new thing or a sequel or a prequel or what, but it's going to be, his designs for it are fantastic. And apparently he's dreamed to make these movies forever.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's pretty
It'd
cool.
It'd be killer. It'd be killer. I hope he proves us all wrong.
And a story that was actually I seen, but it was also sent in by Daniel Hitch, one of our regular listeners.
Oh, yeah.
He sent us a message to our Facebook page, and he says, "Guys, it's literally Spaceballs." And I was like, "What is he talking about?" So I clicked on the link, and it's a story of a team of researchers at the University of Sheffield and the University of Buckingham Center over in England, of course. They basically discovered this metal ball that's been in going around our orbiting Earth, basically. And it's microscopic, but they were still able to discover it with our high-powered telescopes. And it's a metal ball that's oozing out some kind of liquid. And apparently it's biological in nature because of the tests they run on it.
Okay.
And they believe it to be genetic material. And if that's the case, if they're able to get it and test that, it kind of goes towards this theory people like Carl Sagan have had that aliens basically have seeded life on different planets, kind of like Prometheus. Actually, we're talking about Alien, because if that's the case, it's where did it come from? Why is there a ball with biological genetic material in our orbit?
True.
And so it's fascinating. We don't know what it is, but if they find it and get it and test it, that'd be pretty freaking awesome.
Or it'll lead to our demise when it's an alien virus.
That's very true. We shouldn't mess with it. And for my third story, this is something I've been following very closely for a while now. There's these group of UFO researchers called Don Schmidt, Tom Carey, and Adam Dew that are all looking at these slides that they found in the attic of this old couple. Someone else found it and they gave it to these UFO researchers to take a look at. And these slides are basically photographic slides that are full color once you develop them, and they're beautiful, high quality images. And this couple went all over the world traveling. They have pictures with celebrities. They have pictures of Truman at the time. And they were tested to be from around the date 1947. And two of the slides that were hidden in the top part of this box that they were in are pictures of this humanoid-looking creature inside of a glass box.
Okay, and creepy.
You can see a pair of legs behind the box, like obviously looking into the box, but someone else is taking the picture. And so they've been describing this picture and saying that they believe these pictures are of the aliens from Roswell, and that this couple was connected to people that were involved in the military and that they could have been there, and they're dated to the correct time. And just the other day, someone released a video, like a trailer, because they're making a documentary all about these slides, and they're going to have a press conference on them in May, talking all about what they are. And in the trailer, you can kind of see a quick glimpse of these slides. And so when someone blew that up, and it's very blurry, so you can kind of see the body in this case. But to me, it kind of looks like a mummified remains of like a human that looks kind of deformed. But the head's really big. It's got weird proportions to its body, like longish arms, and it's real thin and sinewy and weird looking. But they say it's the smoking gun evidence of aliens and extraterrestrial life. But I'm not so sure I believe all that, because it looks like it might be a mummy of some sort. But it's very interesting. So when May comes around, we'll report back on this and see if aliens really were around in 1947.
Or if, like everything, it's covered up by the government.
True.
All right,
so that's good, all of our paranormal good, news there.
Good
I like
nerd,
that.
Nerd news. We had a good round, awful, weird table there.
Indeed. We got away from the subjects of porn for a while, so that's
good. True. Just long enough to get right back to it.
Yeah.
I apologize, listeners. We will not be talking about that. So to get our brains warmed up and in the realm that we are about to enter, I have a game called Cartoon Counterparts, where I'm going to name a cartoon character, and Jarman, you're going to have to tell me the name of their sidekick.
Oh boy.
I expect you to do well. I truly do.
I appreciate that.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
SpongeBob SquarePants.
That'd be Patrick.
Yep. Garfield.
It's the dog, but I'm having trouble remembering his name. Like Fletcher or I don't know.
Oswalt? I don't know. It's Odie. Odie the
Odie,
dog. I'm
that's
sorry.
Right. I almost knew that.
All right. Mr. Burns.
Smithers.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Ariel from Little Mermaid.
Flounder.
Yep, you got it.
His name was what he was.
Fred Flintstone.
Barney.
Yep.
He was the original Family Guy voice guy.
That's true. Johnny Quest.
Oh, it was the really horribly stereotyped Indian guy who followed him around. It wasn't Apu, thankfully. But Shamishara, I don't know. What was his name? What was his name?
It's Haji. Haji.
Haji. And also a very offensive name.
Snoopy.
If you mean Shaggy or Scrappy Doo.
What?
Could be either. It could be Scrappy or Shaggy.
No, Snoopy.
Oh, Snoopy. I thought you said Scooby.
No. I'll give you a chance to guess for Snoopy, though, since you misheard me. I'll give you the chance.
Okay, thank you. Snoopy had the little parakeet or something, but I can't remember its name.
Oh, I need the name. I'm sorry.
I know.
It is Woodstock.
Oh, I did know that. Damn it.
All right, you got half right.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's
You're
decent.
Pretty good. But it got us all good, in though. The mindset, and that's the important part.
That's what counts.
Because now we're going to break into our big, overwhelming discussion of cartoons.
So you had a couple, I think both of us picked out a couple categories of cartoons we wanted to talk about. It was kind of maybe going through some of our favorites, some of our memories, and hopefully you guys share some of these memories too, because it's brought back a lot of memories for me going over these, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I thought about the three places that I really watched cartoons consistently.
Gotcha.
And that was the Disney Afternoon, which was on like ABC every day from 3 to 5, and then on Nickelodeon, slightly later in my life. And then finally, kind of miscellaneous cartoons that maybe I didn't really appreciate as a kid, but I really appreciate now.
Oh, that's a good category. I like that one.
Yeah. Because I found a lot of those that I came back to later and really enjoyed, but as a kid was like, oh, this sucks.
Probably more for adults anyway.
True. How did you break it down?
Well, I had a few categories. I said favorite adult cartoons, ones that that are made for adults and I'm watching them as an adult. I did a couple of anime mentions.
Okay.
Favorite kids cartoon.
I do not do the animes.
Oh yeah, I only did it in college, and I haven't really watched any anime since then. But it's pretty cool. Favorite kids cartoons, because a lot of them I couldn't remember what they were on. Maybe you'll be able to help me with that. But like, okay. I remember liking them. Somewhere in between, meaning like kind of halfway kids, halfway for adults cartoons. And then I had a couple that were just weird ones. Some weird shows that I didn't really like, but they were just so strange. I think we should talk about them.
Okay. That works for me.
So what do you want to talk about first?
So let's talk about, can we talk about the Disney Afternoon?
Sure. Step right up and come on in. Here's where the fun begins. There's so much to do. Get it ready just for you. Everybody's busy bringing you a Disney Afternoon. Hey! Can you feel the buzz? What, you're gonna feel the buzz? Yeah, what was like the lineup? I'm trying to remember what that was all about.
So what it was is it was a lineup of like four shows, and then after 2 years, what they would do is they would take the one that was the earliest slot, they would retire it, and then they would add a new one onto the end.
It's a good system.
So the beginning time slot was like The Adventures of the Gummy Bears.
Oh, yes.
DuckTales, Tailspin, and then maybe Darkwing Duck.
Oh, another good one. A lot of ducks going on there.
Oh, yeah. A lot of great duck movement.
A lot of animals in general.
Yeah. But Gummy Bears, DuckTales was awesome. Life is like a hurricane here in Duckburg. Race cars, lasers, aeroplanes. It's a duck blur. I cannot think of a better way to pretend like if you were a rich kid and get away with crazy stuff.
I had like totally forgotten about DuckTales. That is a really good show.
How can you forget about DuckTales? And then the other one that I remember really liking as a kid was Gummy Bears.
The Adventures of Gummy Bears. Bouncing here, there, and everywhere.
I remember loving it as a kid. And then when I was in college, the whole collection came out on DVD. And I went up to this indie DVD rental place on the top of Queen Anne Hill.
I went there with
you. And rented two discs of the Gummy Bears. And I will just tell you, it is not one of those cartoons that you get more out of when you're an adult. It is exactly what you remember it as. It is just gummy bears getting in stupid-ass situations and then using magic to get out of it. That's
There's something to appreciate
episode.
For that, too.
Yes.
That has its value.
But it does not hold up well for adults. I'll just tell you right now.
You know, good, because I was about to go buy it, so I'm really happy you told me.
But no, I remember them. I remember being really pissed because they would retire my favorite shows.
Because
I loved Gummy Bears and DuckTales, but then they were the first two retired because of the way they had it set up. I remember just being so mad, and the new show's just not being as good.
Well, that seems to always happen, like, when you're growing up. It's like, man, these shows weren't as good as when I was a kid, and it's like,
yeah,
they
but
probably
I was
are.
When I was, like, six. God, those fuckers.
I'm sure you said it just like that when you're saying, God,
I know,
those
I did.
Fuckers.
Okay, well, let's go into one of your categories.
All right, so I guess I'll jump right into a kids' cartoon since we're kind of on that topic a little bit.
Okay.
First of all, the WB cartoons. I do remember those being grouped together, and I love those cartoons.
I don't know, but I heard tell the WB's a play. But them great new shows and things goes, even worms in outer space. They eat it bird, hot rod dogs, a boy named Damien, a singing frog. You got, we got WB's, got people all having fun. Well, what are you doing? There's nothing on TV.
Yeah.
Well, you turn that channel straight to the WB.
Word, number one.
Kids who live in a water tower, a Krypton guy with superpower. He's that frown and set on the dime in front of kids WB. The party's hot at the Warner Lot. Everyone's on a roll. Folks already in front and Betty and Atkins out of control. We'll stick a bomb in Daffy's bed and drop an anvil on someone's head. You got, we got WB, got everybody having fun.
And they had stuff for adults too that I probably didn't get at the time, but they still hold up today. Which would be Animaniacs, Freakazoid, and Pinky and the Brain. Great stuff. I mean, Animaniacs spawned off Freakazoid and Pinky and the Brain, because those were originally both just like skits that were on Animaniacs, and they spawned off their own shows. And I still one day want to do a Freakazoid cosplay, because he was hilarious and awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, maybe it just was too early or too late for me, but I remember not really caring for any of those shows.
Really?
Pinky and the Brain I did enjoy, but I remember Animaniacs bugging the hell out of me, and same thing with Freakazoid.
Weird, yeah, because I didn't watch too much of those, the Disney cartoons you mentioned. I guess that when I was that age, I wasn't watching those shows at that time, but they were still good shows.
Yeah.
Another show kind of mixed in there is X-Men. I didn't really watch like Spider-Man
the animated series, hell
but
yeah,
like X-Men was great. I watched some Ninja Turtles, but. I don't know. I had tons of Ninja Turtles action figures, but I just didn't watch a lot of the TV show, but it was a good cartoon show. A big mention here, Looney Tunes.
Yeah, just flat out Looney Tunes.
Yeah, like they were all on, and then they're all made like in the 40s and stuff, but because a lot of the jokes didn't make any sense, but they were still funny. Like they're making references like James Cagney and like World War II and stuff by war bonds. Like, I don't know what the hell that means at the time, but it's really funny.
Yeah. What's better than Roadrunner and Coyote getting hurt over and over and over and over again?
Yeah. Duck season, rabbit season.
That's where my mind immediately went.
Yep.
Amazing.
Or Bugs Bunny always becoming a woman so many episodes. That was odd.
Yeah, and just taking it.
Right up the butt. Because it all comes back to porn.
Everything is sex.
Going along there, also Scooby-Doo and a lot of the Hanna-Barbera cartoons. I did watch a lot of those.
They're
not good. Like, the animation quality is not good.
Flintstones,
they weren't
Jetsons, those sort of classics, yes, but really nothing else.
Well, no, I watch the obscure ones for some reason. They come on really late at night on Adults, or not Adult Swim, but Cartoon Network at the time. Like the original Space Ghost from like the 60s, Birdman from the 60s, and Scooby-Doo, and a lot of like, I think the He-Man cartoon. I watched some of that too.
Well, yeah, when Cartoon Network went live, that's all they owned the rights to. So they just showed reruns of that stuff over and over and over and over.
I watched a lot of that stuff. Yeah. Probably shouldn't have been. And the Pink Panther was another one I watched a lot of. And the other ones are Nickelodeon shows, though. So I'll wait for you to talk about your Nickelodeon shows before I go into those.
Let's break into it. Let's break into Nickelodeon shows. What's the first one on your list?
I believe this was Nickelodeon. Was Inspector Gadget Nickelodeon?
I remember watching it on Nick, but I don't think it was. I think maybe they syndicated it.
Well, that's one.
Yeah,
I know
Inspector Gadget was good.
Yeah. David the Gnome was like very childish, but I remember still liking it for some reason. It was for like little kids, but I remember
The one where the bear got stuck in the tree and David had to climb up and help him, but then David got hurt. That shit was real. And David had to get the bear out of the tree, and then David got hurt.
Oh, no.
And then that shit got real.
I want, like, in the middle of the episode while children are watching it, some, like, voiceover guy goes, "Then shit got real." But that was probably like a Nick Jr. type of show. But
yeah. I think it was.
Also, Ren and Stimpy was on Nickelodeon, I believe.
I remember not understanding Ren and Stimpy.
I didn't either.
I was too young.
I put it in there, but I remember being pretty grossed out by that a lot of the times when I was a kid. Like, some of the real close-up shots of people's faces with, like, pimples bursting and stuff. And it was
And butt shots and stuff. It's weird.
It was kind of odd. I didn't like it. Yeah.
No, I was too young. I think I was too young.
But one I think we both will agree on is awesome was Doug.
Oh, man. To for an animated show to capture all the angst that I as a middle school boy was feeling.
Yes.
Was great. Doug was it.
Perfect. And I definitely equated Patty Mayonnaise to like my crushes at the time. Like,
oh my God. I knew what he was feeling. So many mayonnaises in my life.
Just mayo all over the place.
Just mayos here and there everywhere.
Just mayo squirting out, you know.
It's crazy how much mayo. God. I think we've covered the amount of mayo.
I think so. So what were some of your Nickelodeon shows?
Okay, so aside from Doug, other favorites, Rocko's Modern Life.
Oh, yes.
Which is one of those shows that as you watch now, you do catch a lot more.
I have heard that recently. I need to go back and watch some of those.
And then ones that I just loved and couldn't get enough of, Rugrats.
Yep.
Everything Rugrats. One. Just the lessons those kids learned and taught me.
And the voice of Tommy Pickles just recently passed away this past year.
I thought it was Chucky.
Was it Chucky?
I thought so.
I feel bad now, but I know it was one of the voices of Rugrats.
Someone died, and we should be sad.
Mayo everywhere.
Mayo.
Sorry, that's a horrible transition.
It is. And then later ones, Angry Beavers, I always really enjoyed.
That was the first set of shows that when I had stopped watching Nickelodeon shows. I don't know why, but like, and Hey Arnold, I think, came around that time.
Yeah.
I just had stopped watching Nickelodeon at that time. I don't know why.
Well, I think my last show that I really remembered, and then until I got to that point, was Ah Real Monsters.
Yeah, I did watch some of that.
That was great. Just sick, gross things, people getting to get scared and screamed at, and just funny situations. Great. Ah Real Monsters. Crumb, and he'd like smell and then juggle his eyeballs. Oh man, what a party trick!
Sounds great.
And then I've got some honorable mentions,
sure,
that weren't either Disney Afternoon or Nick. Bobby's World.
Oh, yes, I was getting that confused a little bit with Rugrats, but yeah, that's the Howie Mandel one.
Yeah, that one's great.
Mm-hmm.
The Simpsons, of course, which has been a powerhouse and a staple for 20 some years now.
I never got into it.
And then one of my favorites, for obvious reasons, Muppet Babies.
Muppet Babies.
Come true.
Like I said, everyone comes here for our singing for this. That's why they listen to this show.
That's what we have to offer, ladies.
And it's funny because both of us are actually decent singers, but we just never exemplify that.
We've both had private vocal training at some point in our lives.
I know. We just show our worst side possible on the show.
But yeah, just sort of ones that didn't fit in any of those categories.
Very cool.
What's your next category? What's your adult animation one? Let's talk adult animation.
Sure, yeah. I liked a lot of the kind of first run Adult Swim shows. And I guess that got kicked off with one of my Somewhere in Between shows, which was Space Ghost Coast to Coast. It was kind of the birth of Adult Swim because it was the first of one of those weird cartoon shows that had adult themes in it. It was just very odd and it was very strange. And I remember one of my earliest memories back when I was probably like 7 years old watching Space Ghost Coast to Coast, and my mom watching me watch it, and she says, "What in the world are you watching? This is so strange." And I think it was the episode, they're all like 15-minute episodes, they're real short. And the whole episode was just, it would look at Space Ghost, he would make a pose, not say anything, then it would cut to Zorak, and he'd move a little bit. Then it cut to Moltar, and he'd move a little bit too. And it was 15 minutes of that, and I was laughing hysterically. And my mom was like, "What are you watching? I'm worried about you." But from that, it kind of spawned this whole Adult Swim thing of having really weird cartoons meant for adults. And I think C-Lab 2021 was fantastic.
And then after that, you have things like Aqua Teen Hunger Force and
Harvey Birdman.
Oh, Harvey Birdman. It's something that I did not have an appreciation for until well after it was gone.
I love that show.
Oh, my God. Some of the funniest moments in all animated time that I have laughed so hard are from that show.
And it's great because C-Lab 2021 and Harvey Birdman, they just took the cells, the animation from the old cartoons, and they repurposed it for that show. So it's like they were having a lot of the original animations in there, and they just was cheaply reusing it, but making hilarious scenarios. And Stephen Colbert was in Harvey Birdman. He played like the boss of the law firm or whatever. It was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. A lot of really sort of people that have become big famous comedic people.
Yeah.
Parts in Harvey Birdman.
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. And from this side only, the flight of a half man, half bird, dinosaurs nuzzling their young in pastures where a strip mall should be, cookies on dowels. All those moments lost in time, gone like eggs off a hooker's stomach. Time to die.
But going along with this, I think we need to talk about the both of us is The Critic.
Buy my book!
Buy my book!
The Critic, I feel like, is one of those shows that never got appreciation at the time. But now when you watch it, it rings so true of the era it came out in.
And such funny moments. And it's like a very precursor to what later on became Family Guy, because
very true.
There's a lot of the whole flashback moments all the time in that show. And Family Guy definitely uses that to the extreme. But it also was John Lovitz's crowning achievement. He's never done anything better since, I don't think. But
I would agree with that statement.
Yes. But if you haven't seen The Critic, there aren't that many episodes. I think maybe it's like two seasons, if anything. So go watch it. It's a lot of fun.
The one where his son has to go in for the talent show is one of my favorites. The Misery episode is absolutely brilliant.
And going on to a little more newer show, actually a newer, probably the next wave of Adult Swim, Home Movies. Did you ever see that show?
Not really, but my wife loves it.
It was really cute, and it was just really quirky and weird. And the guy who created that show later went on to make Metalocalypse. If you guys have seen that, that's one of the newer Adult Swim shows. I don't think it's on anymore, though. And that one I didn't like as much. It was more violent and kind of weird, but Home Movies was definitely very fun. Robot Chicken is not quite a cartoon, but it's kind of in that same vein.
No.
But I like that one. And the Venture Brothers later came on, and I think that was a fantastic show.
Ann and I have tried to watch it. I feel like the episodes are very hit and miss.
That is very true.
I feel like there are some where I am just enthralled and laughing the entire time, and others where I feel like there's one good laugh.
Yeah, like it's not a show. I tried to binge watch it, but I wasn't motivated enough to get through all of it. So, but it's definitely worth checking out.
Okay.
But I have a couple more. But do you have any more adult shows that you like?
Yeah, one that definitely falls in that is Duckman.
I was going to mention that in my weird category
about a duck private eye, his pig assistant, not really solving crimes and living with his awful family.
It's really weird. It is, and it kind of reminded me of Ren and Stimpy a bit because it gets kind of gross sometimes and weird. But it was a late night. It was one of the first like late night animation shows.
It was on USA, right?
It was.
Bam.
It came on right before USA would actually play blurred out softcore porn movies.
Those were Those were real good times.
Oh, yeah, because I'd watch Duckman. I knew that after Duckman was done, my parents would be in bed, and one of those USA movies would come on where it blurred out softcore porn movie. I don't understand that, but that's what I remember from Duckman.
I understand perfectly well.
Goes right along with watching scrambled porn, which nobody in the next age group, the millennials, will understand that.
No, not a single one.
Yep.
The internet understand. Has been around for too long now.
We had to watch porn that was on scrambled channels, and you could occasionally see a boob every now and then.
You'd be like, ah, tit, yeah. And all the little kids, yeah. And all the adolescent voices would cheer.
Yay. That's a very porn-heavy episode.
It is, for some reason. Okay, well, let's hear some more from you, because it sounds like you've got more than I do.
I have a couple more. Archer is one of the newer shows that I do love. It is ridiculously hilarious. H. John Benjamin is in it. Do you watch any Archer?
I've watched the first two seasons. My favorite episode by far is the pipeline episode where they're out in the swamp.
And they're on the swamp craft thing, what's it called?
Yeah, on a fan boat.
Yeah.
And then they sink it, and yeah, it's great. Just absolutely great. I can watch the episode over and over again.
It is pretty amazing. And then he meets Burt Reynolds, his idol, who's screwing his mom. It's pretty hilarious. But and then also Family Guy. I'm sorry, people shit on Family Guy all the time, but I think it's great. It's good writing. I've always enjoyed the episodes. I like the musical episodes. I like Seth MacFarlane, and I don't think you're a fan of Seth MacFarlane.
I like him. I don't like most of his live action appeal.
Gotcha.
I like him as an animated voice.
Yeah, because he can do great voices, and I think he's a great writer, and he was his baby,
and that's another thing.
And he pretty much went from nothing, and he just pitched that to them as nobody, and they took it and made him famous.
Yeah.
So good for him.
Yeah, but I don't like any of his live stuff at all. A Million Ways to Die in the West was awful.
I liked it.
I knew you would.
Well, that's the end of my adult ones. Oh, I also put an honorable mention out to Dr. Katz. Did you ever watch that show?
My wife has it on DVD. I've watched a little bit of it.
It's very hard to watch sometimes because the animation is really weird. It's like wiggly animation. I don't understand. Like
everyone's having a seizure all the time.
Yeah. But it is. It's fun. It's got its own appeal, but it's not in your face like Archer or something. It's very cerebral.
So one show that I'm gonna get up on a soapbox here for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
That has yet to be mentioned yet, that I don't think gets its due, and is something that when I watched it as a kid, I thought it was absolute bullshit. But now that I've watched it as an adult and watched the entire thing, it is just brilliant. Is King of the Hill.
Oh, yes. We do need to mention King of the Hill, of course.
If you have not watched it since you gave it up the first time, give it a second chance.
Damn it, Bobby.
Bobby Hill is one of my top five all-time animated characters ever. Bobby Hill.
That's hilarious.
Anna and I have remarked multiple times that we hope we have a kid like Bobby Hill.
Well, you watch Louie, don't you?
No, Anna does.
Oh, you should watch Louie because the voice of Bobby is in that show. She's his love interest.
I don't care for Louie.
Oh, how can you not care for Louie? You are Louie.
Maybe that is why.
You're like Louis if he actually had a good like love life.
I'm Louis if he had any support.
Yeah, you're Louis with like a dependable job and a good wife.
But no, I really don't care for the show.
Wow, interesting.
Anna's tried to get me a few times. I just don't.
That's why, because you don't like it because you're too much like him, and she likes it because he's like you and she likes you. Legit. So it makes perfect sense. Yeah, it does.
No, I hate that shit.
But yeah, King of the Hill was a spawn from Mike Judge, who created the Office Space cartoon originally that kind of got him popular, then Beavis and Butthead, and then on to King of the Hill, and it's a great show.
King of the Hill, and then live movies, and some real good stuff.
I also have an anime category, very small.
Okay, let's hear about this, because I don't know anything.
Yeah, like in college, I had friends who were crazy into anime, and they watched a lot of the weird ones. My friends, some of them watched Dragon Ball Z growing up, and it was too much flashing lights and people yelling and screaming and very cartoony looking characters, so I couldn't get into it. But in college, they're like, no, you got to watch some good anime. I'm like, okay. So they gave me the DVDs for Cowboy Bebop, and I watched that, okay. And I was like, this is a fantastic like action sci-fi show, and it had great animation, great music, great voiceovers. Like, they actually matched up well and made sense, and they had good voice actors. And that really makes it for an anime. So that actually was very enjoyable.
Okay.
Ghost in the Shell, which they're remaking soon with Scarlett Johansson. People are upset about that because they're whitewashing it instead of making it in New Tokyo. It's taking place in like California or something, and it's got a white actress. But
and it's going to star Tits McGee.
I like Scarlett Johansson. I think she's a good actress.
No, I love Tits McGee. Don't get me wrong.
That's horrible. Every time we mention something like that, like I think of our feminist episode we had with Kristen Bezio, and like, how can we say these things and regress so much?
Dude, I'm calling it like it is, though. I think she would appreciate that I'm calling that shit like it is. She is there to be eye candy and bullshit.
Well, she's a great actress and also has fantastic breasts. So there you go. I'll say that much. Because she's also a good actress. Top of that is Trigun, which is more of just like a fun action show, but it's like well done and fun to watch. A lot of gun shooting, and there's a priest with a giant cross on his back, and it turns out the cross is like a machine gun and stuff and shoots out missiles and stuff. It's fun. And then Evangelion is this mind trip of a show that was all about these giant mechs that were related to the angels, and it was crazy. But
okay.
Wow, I can't get insane into all the kung fu ones and like Dragon Ball. I can't do those, but I like the really weird mind job storytelling.
That's the only anime I've ever been into is I've watched all of Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, it just gave me a headache. Like, I couldn't watch them, but
it was just a lot of screaming.
Exactly. There's a lot of yelling.
Powering up.
Over 9,000.
Yeah. I've hit my next level. just all screaming.
Quiet, I have a headache.
And flashing lights and then explosions.
Well, I have another one you'll probably want to talk about, which is in my somewhere in between category, which is The Tick.
Yeah, The Tick gets some honorable mention. It didn't make it for a reason, though.
Yeah, it was a decent show. I love the idea and of the characters and like these inept superheroes and stuff. It was very unique in that way.
It wasn't that great, but it did have some funny moments.
Yeah, it was a fun show. But the last one I'll mention on my list is it's my somewhere in between category because it's good for kids and adults, and it's incredibly well made, great voice acting. Okay. Is Avatar and also The Legend of Korra, the sequel to Avatar. Both series they're great storytelling. Every episode leads into the next. You really should be a little bit older to watch these shows because Avatar is a little more for kids, but still good for adults. But then Legend of Korra actually is much more for adults, and it's
just a lot more sex. Is that?
Oh, just sex. Mayo all over the place. Just mayo.
Oh, I love Patty.
But no, Legend of Korra is fantastic. I'm still in season 3. I know season 4 is out. And if you haven't seen it, Legend of Korra and Avatar, basically about people can control the elements, basically the wind, fire, earth, and
to do so to bring balance to the world.
Yeah. Earth, fire, air, and what am I forgetting? What's the other element? Water. There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
But But they also, I like how it's like any good TV show I watch, they usually, they've planned out to have a story they want to tell, and they end the series after that, no matter what, that usually means you're going to have some good storytelling, because they're not, you know, indefinitely having the show or going on for too many seasons when it's not good anymore. And so they always plan it out. They do that many episodes, and then that's it. It's done. And it's done now, so you can watch them all. You should do it. It's a great show.
Okay. Maybe I'll revisit.
Yeah, it's fun. Just stick with it, and it gets better and better. So that's it for our big feature segment on all our cartoons. Please tell us what are some of your favorite cartoons that you watched growing up or you watch right now. And also, I want to know, we have a lot of UK listeners. I know a lot of these shows might be pretty
US.
You
may have no idea what the hell we're talking about.
Yeah, like you might not have any of these shows available to you even. So let us know what shows you watched over in the UK. And
we're sorry you live in an awful country.
Maybe their shows are better than ours. We don't know.
Nah, they weren't made in America.
America.
Fuck yeah.
But yeah, I'd love to know what you guys have over there.
Yeah,
So now I bring a second game. And this one takes a little bit of explaining. So if you have a mother, it's weird to say, but it
some people may have never met their mother. Yeah.
If you have a mother, she at some point has tried to explain something to you, the name of a movie or maybe a place, and not really known what it was. And so she either describes it or gives you a very bad butchering of the name. So I call this game, you know, that show about where my mother would, if she were to try to recall the cartoon shows I watched when I was young, what she would try to describe them as.
Beautiful.
And I'm going to give one to German, and German's going to have to tell me what the cartoon show is.
I like it.
Oh, you know that show, Insane Animated Featurettes.
Insane Animated Featurettes.
I made this one so you'll understand concept.
Animaniacs?
Close.
That was
Looney Tunes.
Ah. Because either one could have worked. Maniac, Looney Tunes.
I'll give you a point for that.
Thank you.
You got me. All right. You know that show, A Marsupial's Existence in Society Today?
Rocco's Modern Life.
There you go.
Nice. Well done.
You know that show, Carpet Rodents?
Carpet Rodents. Rugrats.
Rugrats.
He's doofus.
Oh, you know that show, gelatin-based multicolored candy animals?
Oh, Mom, you mean the gummy bears.
The gummy bears. Oh, you know I love that show, Robert's Existence.
Robert's Existence? Bob's Burgers?
Bob's. You're close. I gotta take the point for you, though. Bobby's World.
Oh, Bobby's World, of course.
Oh, you know that show about scary outdoor statues?
Gargoyles.
Gargoyles.
Yes, with so many Star Trek voiceovers on that. It's fantastic.
That show, you know, the upset water rodents.
Water rodents? Man.
They're upset.
Oh, Angry Beavers. I like how our mothers, ever since we were little kids, whenever we do our mom's voice, it's always like an old Jewish mother from New York.
For some reason.
I don't know why.
All right, the final one. Okay. Oh, that show you know about the infantile puppets.
Muppet Babies.
Yay, you got it right, Muppet Babies.
Yay.
All right, you got all but one right. You got 7 out of 8.
Very nice. So you did a lot of the ones we already talked about, so I guess it was pretty easy.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to get your mind warmed up first. I wanted to make it fair.
My mind's so warm and full of mayo right now.
So that's been our big talk about cartoons from our childhood. We hope they're from your childhood, too.
Indeed.
And if not, just go die.
Bring it on back, huh?
Bring it on back to death. Now we move into our patent pending trailer reviews. Here to Play on Nerds, we have developed an interesting rating system to bring to you our ideas on the trailers we're about to review. At the low, low end of the scale, we have Burn It, where we think you should find every copy you can get your hands on and throw it into a barrel fire.
Kill it with fire. And our next step is Drunk Watch, which means that, yeah, I'd watch this movie. It'd be entertaining if I was under the influence of some kind of substance of some kind. But if I was sober, probably not going to check this thing out.
Nope, not going to see it. Next, we've got We'll See, which is maybe we just don't know enough about this movie to tell what the hell it's going to be.
Could be good, could be bad, not sure.
Eh.
And our next category would be Get the Couch Ready, which means I'm definitely going to check this movie out at home. Wouldn't necessarily pay the big bucks to see it in theaters, but I'm definitely going to watch it at home, so get that couch ready.
After that, we have Take a Look, where we are recommending for you, our viewers and listeners, to check out this movie and check out the trailer and tell us what you think about it. We wanted to see what you guys think.
It looks pretty good, but we're not quite sure yet.
Yeah, take a look.
Yeah.
Let us know.
And for our final and best category, we have Shut Up and Take My Money.
Shut Up and Take My Money.
This looks so awesome, we're going
to
see it.
That's where we cannot wait to give Hollywood bigwigs all of the money that we have earned at work to go see a film for $47. We're so excited, we just have to go see it. We don't have a choice.
And that is our A Play on Nerds official copyrighted trademark system for rating our movie trailers.
So the first movie we're going to talk about is Crimson Peak. We saw the trailer just drop for this. It just dropped, and it's the Guillermo del Toro.
His masterpiece, they're saying.
They're saying, yes. It's also, it looks to me like a straight-up horror movie, which is good, because I know he loves horror movies, but he's always having to make other things. So what did you think of the trailer?
I don't know. Something is going to be very not what it seems. For how much they're revealing about, what's his name, Tom Hiddleston?
Hiddleston, yeah.
Hiddleston. For how much they're showing of him, there's no way he's really the villain.
Yeah, and basically it's Tom Hiddleston, what's her name? Jessica Chastain plays like a sister, it looks like.
Yeah, and they were raised in some sort of attic where they were locked up or something.
Yeah, in this giant mansion up on Crimson Peak. And
Crimson Peak.
Mm. I recognize the female actress, but I don't know her name, but yeah. She's the main actress is someone else. But yeah, I think you're right, though. They're showing a lot of him looking like he might be the villain, so he probably isn't.
Yeah, I just can't imagine they would tip their hat that early.
Yeah. I mean, but the visuals look amazing in this movie, which is always true of Guillermo del Toro movies.
I'm sure it'll be great. It's just I don't like ghost movies.
Well, it's more than ghosts. It seems like it might be like demons or some kind of monsters and stuff.
Maybe
it's all in their head, you know? So who knows?
What do you think about this? You're going to go see it?
I think it looks really visually cool enough that I'm going to do Shut Up and Take My Money. I want to see this movie.
I'm going to have to go ahead and give it a we'll see because I'm not sold yet.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I love Tom Hiddleston too. I just think it's awesome. So
yeah, true. He is great. But
glad to see him outside of Loki.
I just don't know what to think about this film yet.
Fair enough. Which one's next?
Next, we're going to review Hitman Agent 47.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks just like all the other Hitmans, kind of, but just more showy and flashy.
Yes, that's funny because I thought of that too watching this trailer. That it was very, you know, glossy and flashy looking. A lot of bright colors and a lot of those lens flares and stuff. But I wrote that I'm a little confused why they're making a reboot of a game movie that came out like 15 years ago. Well, yeah. the game came out like 15 years ago, and they did a movie of it about 10 years ago, and it failed.
Yeah, it came out while I was working at Blockbuster.
Yeah, and they had a sequel, I think, too, but both movies didn't do very well, and now they're rebooting it. I'm like, why? Why are they doing this?
It's a property to be used, and it gives them an excuse to make an action film.
I guess so. I'm just like, okay, all right. But then I watched the trailer, and I was pleasantly surprised. It looked like it could be actually pretty fun, pretty well done.
Yeah. I think if you're ready to go in for a romp-em-stomp action film, if you're looking for anything more, you're going to be disappointed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Don't expect anything else, of course.
Yeah.
I also like that Zachary Quinto is in it. He's not the hitman, but he plays like the protagonist, I guess.
And I do kind of like that I have no idea who the hell the hitman is.
True. Rupert Friend is apparently his name, but I've never heard of him.
I don't recognize him from anything, so yeah. I like that kind of.
That is kind of cool. I'm always good with them picking no-name actors for stuff.
All the same, I'm going to give this a burn it.
I thought you would.
I just don't think this is going to be redeemable as a film.
I actually gave it a we'll see / get the couch ready because it looks like it's fun enough to enjoy. But right now, I'm not sure if it's fun enough to enjoy because it looks like it was just a glossy trailer. So I'm going to say we'll see and we'll get the couch ready. And our third one.
The third one is Will Ferrell and Kevin Hart in Get Hard.
I just want to hear what you have to say about this. Yeah.
It seems to be about some sort of big wig hotshot millionaire who finds out he's going to go to jail. So he hires a street hood played by Kevin Hart to train him and get him ready to go to prison.
But funny story, Kevin Hart is just faking it because he wants the money to train him, but he's never been to jail before. He's actually like a family man, has a good job, but he just wants the extra money. So he doesn't know about how to be a thug and how to be in jail. So that's the funny part.
it looks... I'm sure it'll have some genuinely funny moments, but my money says it's going to be wrapped in between sparing moments of trying to keep the plot together.
Yeah, and I thought... originally, I was like, oh, man, this looks like a depressing lineup for a movie, kind of like Cop Out with Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan, or I don't know. It's just like, but then I watched the trailer and I was like, oh, well, it looks a little better than I expected.
What was that movie, Taxi, with Queen Latifah and Jimmy Fallon?
I was thinking of that too. It's like, let's get a movie with, a comedic actor, or I guess Bruce Willis not being a comedic actor, but, and then put them with a black person and make lots of black jokes. It's like, well, that's not really okay. But, they're still doing it. They did it back with Trading Places, and they're doing it again now.
Trading Places is a classic, though.
It was very good, yes.
But Get Hard, I'm going to give a Drunk Watch, I think, is the best I can do for it.
Funny. I actually put that, too. I said I wouldn't quite burn this movie, but I'll give a Drunk Watch if nothing better is available to watch.
That's our final say on Get Hard, Drunk Watch.
All right, so now we'll move on to our section of the show where we thank our lovely listeners who have favorited or retweeted or commented on things on Facebook or Twitter. And first from Twitter, we have, we're going to send a thanks out to Dex T-Shirts or at Dex Shirts, who favored one of our posts, Mike or at Jarek, Tyler Ulahel, that's his name.
Awesome.
Brian Urso or at Urso Brian, and Jimmy DeLeu. And on Facebook, for our Ghostbusters episode, Sean White, who's also a friend of mine in real life, he commented, I used to love Ghostbusters, but then I started seeing how they represent everything the Tea Party stands for and just let it drop. And I asked him afterwards, because he's not a guy who would say something like that. I said, in what way? And he said, he linked me a Cracked video, popular website Cracked in the old magazine, that lays out some fairly good points about how the Ghostbusters are actually fighting against government overreach in all the both movies. And it's actually pretty funny. They make some valid points. They're not being entirely serious, but you can look at it that way, and it's actually pretty funny.
I can see that.
Yeah. And some random Ghostbusters mega fan responded to him on the post, and he actually, his name on Facebook is Ray Stans, the same name as Ray in the movie.
I saw that.
And he says, Sean, get a fucking life and stop reading into things that you assume are in Ghostbusters. I was like, Jesus. But then it made more sense when he also commented on the original post saying, hell no to all girls in the cheap pandering gimmick, which he was talking about the new cast of the new movie.
So, Ray, you can shut your mouth.
It sounds like we have another Gamer Gator on our fans, on our hands.
We don't need you or your shit, Ray.
Michael
take
Ryan,
it somewhere else.
Take it somewhere else, Ray. We don't need that shit. Michael Ryan said, that's a lot of stuff to cover, talking about our episode, and we did cover quite a bit. Tommy Cooper said, Freddy versus the Ghostbusters, that will be an awesome movie. And he's talking about a fan film that's actually out there where the Ghostbusters have to fight the ghost of Freddy Krueger, which I have to watch that too. It looks pretty cool.
Holy shit.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good idea for a movie. And yeah, that's about it. So we want to thank all you listeners for listening in and commenting and talking about our episodes, adding to the conversation. And we hope you'll
talking.
Keep on listening.
We want to keep hearing from you.
Absolutely. And where can they find us, Steve, on the interwebs?
They can find us on the Twitters. They can find us on the Facebooks, on the Twitches, on the YouTubeses.
Google Pluses.
We can be found on the Google Pluses for the four people that still use that. You can email us at anything at aplayonnerds.com. If you email any word at aplayonnerds.com, we'll get it.
It's true. You can do it.
You could find a stray cat and spend months training it to deliver a message to us and then tie it to its leg.
You could send us smoke signals. We won't see them, but you could still send them to us.
It would be fun and a good activity for you and your children.
Get a long string and get a cup and give us the other end of the cup, and then we'll listen in to what you have to say.
There you go. There are tons of ways to get a hold of us. There's no excuse anymore. We want to hear from you.
Absolutely.
Thanks again, Internet.
Yep, and we'll talk to you later. Stay nerdy, my friends. Till next time.